Episode 147. Lyle Seitz, Head of Hockey Operations, Win Today Ice Hockey League.
If the first review is inconclusive, you still have your, let's call it, free coaches challenge.
So if you keep getting them right, you might have six.
You could have six if you kept getting them right. But as soon as you get one wrong and it's conclusive that you're wrong,
then the clock is ticking.
Then the clock is ticking and it's a minor penalty. Then if you say did it a third time and you were wrong, it's a double minor penalty. It keeps incrementing itself, right?
Win today, hockey, over.
In diesem Augenblick wird's jetzt richtig hitzig. Yeah, und die Scheibe kollert über die Linie.
Mittendrin statt nur dabei.
Das ist unglaublich, was die hier zelebrieren.
Nice move, another nice move.
It is becoming a monthly occurrence that we do have the head of hockey operations of the Win Today Ice Hockey League here in Win Today Hockey O'Clock. This time around, I'm especially pleased to have him because now, today, we get to tackle some of the questions that you viewers and listeners at home sent around. And viewers is probably the key word. This podcast cannot only be listened to as you normally used to it, but if you go to the show notes of this podcast, you should find a video link and you can watch the Head of Hockey Operations 2. That is Lyle Seitz. Lyle, thanks for jumping onto the show.
Thank you.
Lyle, a lot of things have transpired in the 59 games that have been played so far. We've seen a fifth of the regular season being played out. What's the assessment so far of those 59 games? What's been good from your end and where's room for improvement?
The overall product itself, we're fine with. We're obviously in a tweaking stage, but the key is we put some onus on the captains and at the captains meeting and the coaches and then obviously to all the players in changing the standard of play. And obviously that translates to the referees as well. What are they calling? What are they not calling? But it's not about what the referees are calling. It's always about can the players adapt? Can we change our game? And that's where we're at. And, we were up in that, basically playing one third of every game at the beginning of the year on special teams, meaning somebody was shorthanded. And you'll see in the last couple of weeks where it's starting to come down. Our penalty minutes per game or special teams is starting to come down. And that's not because the referees are laying off the standard. It's actually quite the opposite. We're trying to put a push on to even make it more, but we have to give the players time to adapt. And so right now with the league, we're in a little bit of a transition right now, but we feel we're making that turn right now, and we feel like we're making progress.
This kind of transitional period, does it happen every year? Is there always like this sweet spot or point in time where it might take place?
Well, no. It happens every year, yes. Is there a time and place that's specific? No. Even checking from behind, boarding, checking the head, we're tightening up a bit more on. Because we don't know how the play, like when we started to clamp down on stick fouls, checking from behind, boarding, those started to creep into our game more. And so we have to adjust as the players adjust. So it's not something where we have a timeline, we have a date, we're going to do this on this date. We have to constantly go with the flow. Now, if something happens in a game, that's one thing. If it happens over a weekend, that's even one thing. But when we start to see a trend, we call it a trend, where we've seen multiple games over a multiple period of time, and these same occurrences are happening, maybe they're penalized but not penalized enough, or maybe they're not being penalized, then we have to go and work with the referees, we have to go work with the coaches, and we have to obviously work with the players.
Now, the last time around, you jumped onto the show that was before the season. You educated the viewers back home and told them, this year, one of the points of emphasis will be stick fouls. How have stick fouls and the assessment of stick fouls, how has that gone so far?
Well, I think there's no way to say, it's 10% better, 20% better. But what we can say...
But is there a gut feeling?
100%. We just had two nights of Champions League games. We obviously had three teams playing in there. And if you go and look at the stick fouls, like we would notoriously have a lot of stick fouls in when our teams went and played Champions League. And that's even come down. And the quality of play we're turning that corner. But it's not about clamping down the stick fouls. It's how do the players make that adjustment? How do they change? So that means they got to actually have that extra step. They got to be in that right position, because a body check is a legal act. But what people don't realize, if you haven't played the game, is it's very difficult to make a good legal body check. And that's all to do with your feet. So what we're trying to do is get the onus off the sticks and get it more on the feet of how the players are approaching in a defensive manner.
Very curious to find out how the season will go on, and obviously the emphasis on all different rules aspects. But this video podcast really comes to life with you listeners and viewers back home sending us your questions. This is your space to hear from the league. This is your space to hear from Hockey Ops. And a couple of people already used it, put forward clips. You can do so from now up until the end of the year. We're running this as a kind of monthly feature. And if you have a question regarding a suspension, why there is a suspension, why there wasn't one, everything that you deem worthy, pass it on. We'll gladly talk about it. And the very first clip that a user from back home sent in and wanted us to review takes us back to opening day or opening night. That was a game between Pusatar and the Pioneers, and Kevin Maczaczynski, number 71 from the Pioneers, got a 5 in a game misconduct. The question, and we'll look at the clip in a bit, but the question from the viewer back home was, why was there no suspension? We'll have a look at the clip. You'll probably run us through it, and then we'll talk about it. Takes place in the upper left corner.
I was going to say, for the viewers, it's right in the corner. And we'll have a couple more views at this. And it's probably easier, Martin, to let the video run, let people determine for themselves it's a judgment thing. It's not that I'm right or wrong on this.
But we have the hit here.
So we have the hit, and in its most basic and raw form, and I'm here to state how the process works. It goes to 6 player safety committee members, clips on any given night, and
independent people all over the world,
who are
experts. No affiliation to the clubs or to.
They don't even know that's Kevin. They don't know that's whatever team, and they don't. They just see the clips for what they are. Okay, and we run the same system in the Champions Hockey League. This particular clip, I think you said something very important at the beginning that may not make sense and still may not make sense, but that was opening weekend. We didn't know where trends were going to be, and I just said a few minutes ago that we have to follow trends. I'm going to guess with Player Safety Committee, because we keep them updated too with our trends, that would be a suspension right now. I say that because we had meetings all last week and we went through multiple clips and where are we, and we showed a bunch of different things. But on this particular clip, out of 6 people, 3 people come back and said no suspension, and 3 people said category 1, which means it's either, it could be 1 or 2 games. So you could say, could it be a suspension? Absolutely. That, when it's a split like that, that's my choice now. Okay, so if viewers are upset that that wasn't suspension, that's 100% on me, because our player safety committee did their job. But it was opening weekend. We felt everybody was getting going. Everybody's feeling it. This player did not sustain any form of a serious injury. He did remain playing in the game. And although Kevin did not get a game suspension, meaning an additional game, he in a weird way did get a game misconduct. He got a 5 in a game, which is actually more or less a game suspension. So in my world, justice was done by the 5-minute power play that was served, or that was granted to the opposing team, in this case Pusatel. He got a game misconduct, didn't finish that game, and he did get disciplinary action. He just didn't get a game. He still got fined, and it's on his record.
So if you turn this around, if he hadn't gotten the penalty in the game, so if he had played on for the entirety of the game, you probably would have leaned the other way, because
I would have. And I say that because it doesn't change player safety's decisions. Because it was a split, then there's still judgment on my side too with this. But in this particular case, yes, I would say he would have been sitting for a game if he didn't get a 5 in a game at the time.
Because that is an interesting point, and that will follow us throughout probably this conversation, but especially onto our third example that we'll look at in a bit. It's that the point in time when a penalty occurs matters. Why?
It's not necessarily the point in time within the 60 minutes of a game. What is important is what people don't realize when you do a suspension. Okay, so if Team X is playing Team Y and you do a suspension against Team X, it doesn't benefit Team Y until playoff time when they're playing each other. In some cases, it can even be detrimental because if you take a good player out of a lineup and they're playing different teams, but they're all competing for the standings, this is why we don't see 8 and 10 game suspensions. This is why we don't see... whatever people may think, what we do is work. There's two parts to it. One is if you committed the crime, you have to do the time. And two, and in many cases, and in this case, it's easier to phone and deal with this, saying, Kev, if you keep this kind of play up, if you keep doing this, you're now considered a repeat offender. You have been disciplined already. And now that will come back. If he does that same style of hit again, it will come back instead of maybe being, I said category one could be 1 or 2 games. It's probably going to be a 2 game. But then because he's now a repeat offender on this, it would actually be 3 games. So you can see it again, it's all chronological. So it's not like we sit there. Kevin was not a repeat offender. So in this case, Kevin finishes the check. He plays hard. We're very aware of every single player's way they play. But on this particular situation, and again, I'll take 100% of the decision on this in the sense that I had that option because player safety committee was split on it as well.
A week later, we're moving away from opening weekend. A game occurred in Falke between the Pioneers and the Steinberg Blacklings Linz that I happened to attend. And I sat in the stands and it happened in the far left corner. So right. I was sitting on the opposite side of the cameras. So turn your attention to the far right corner. I see in the corner of my eye the hit that Brian Lebler is gonna lay out on Oli Vantaja. He goes into the boards and he doesn't return. He hasn't played since. We're recording this conversation on a Friday, Friday, October 13th, to be specific. And it wasn't penalized in the game and it wasn't penalized afterwards. And again, corner of my eye, I thought, well, kind of feels like a suspension. Player doesn't come back, but no supplementary discipline was taken. Let's have a look at the clip. Again, focus on the top right-hand corner.
Top left-hand. Right.
The top left-hand, pardon me. Yeah.
And there'll be one more angle again, slowing it down. Actually, it'll be a couple more angles, but there are a couple more slow motion parts.
So it's Leblo right here initiating contact and hitting him.
Right. So this clip was sent to player safety committee. All 6 members come back, no suspension. In this particular case, I agree 100%. And you can look at this from whichever way you want to look at it. But we have a player coming around the net, which in itself, because that net... It's a stationary object, so it creates specific lanes, and there's not a single coach that doesn't teach lanes, and there's not a single player that doesn't pick his lanes. In this case, Brian Lebler's picking his lane. He's going on a straight line. He doesn't elevate. He keeps his elbow tucked. He doesn't pick up speed. He doesn't jump. He doesn't do... What did he do? So what is he getting penalized for? Number one. And number two, and this is a real important fact, what could Brian do differently in this situation? Because he's got a really wide leg stance. He's coming in. He does have a regard for the puck. So now if we go back the other way and let's look at the other player, okay? We have a player coming around.
Let's cue the clip up one more time. Let's have one more close look at it because I guess it helps people to really be able to...
So you see Brian approaching, you see him there, and he glides through. So he doesn't... There's nothing there. Now, if he got him in the head and checked and was all head, that's a different scenario.
But it's shoulder to shoulder.
It's body to body is what we refer to, with the main point of contact is full body to body, okay? for sure, we don't want players hurt, but body checking is a legal act that we can't take out of the game. Like, this is part of our game, okay? And in this case, that player dishes the puck to the right, but cuts to his left. So he also cuts into Brian's lane to create the head-on. I'm not blaming it on that player, but that player, if he would have maintained the way he shot that puck, Brian, I mean, hindsight's always 20-20, but the point is that player would, the reason it was so hard was he cut right in front of Brian, who really had no option left on that play.
And how bad I am at assessing penalties, we'll get to that a little bit later. I would have called for a penalty here. Obviously, it's perfectly fine that there was no penalty. And then a week later, I called a game on Pulse 24. It happened to be the Derby, and you're going to hear my commentary here, because commentary is about the game and where the puck is going. And then in the top left corner, or in the upper half of the images, a game misconduct happens. It's game misconduct against Alexander Rauchenwald. I picked it up way too late. So the art of doing commentary, obviously. Let's have a look at the clip. Let's listen to the commentary, and then let's discuss what indeed happened here.
Moroschak im Zusammenspiel geht allerdings für beide aus der neutralen Zone beziehungsweise aus der Angriffszone in die neutrale Zone.
So I'm going on and on and on, and then at one point I'm getting the replay and I'm like, okay, he's going to go to the bench for what? And I probably have called for 2-minute minor, and it turned out to be a 5-minute major. And I think the refs went to have a look at the clip. Was it an immediate 5-minute game for you when you saw it?
Yes, because of the location of the stick. And this is not high sticking. This is cross checking. So there's two main components to this.
Because you brought along, and I'd like to ask the people working on this in the back to maybe show us the Dobbs clip that you brought along, where directional angles really illustrates the point you're trying to hammer home.
Yeah, and the thing is, and this isn't new to the players, when you bring your stick up horizontal, which happened here, you have two hands on the stick, and you have any form of extension of your arms, 100% the risk is on you. It doesn't matter if it's from behind, it doesn't matter if it's in the back, it's horizontal and it's location. And so the fact is, and I'm just going to go off topic to get back on topic. When you see a player trailing a player into the corner, we allow the wraparound, the hand, as long as he doesn't hold them back and prevent them from going somewhere. But we would rather that hand be on the front of the hip and they go in together than the stick horizontal and giving them that little push in the back, especially when it's a dangerous distance from the board. So now I say that because this is one example for referees. They're working, again, as a whole. They're working as a product. Is a stick horizontal? Yes. Does he have two hands on? Yes. Does he extend his hands? Yes. And does he get him in a vulnerable location where the player can't protect himself? Yes. That's a 5-minute game.
Again, we haven't seen the video yet where you had all the angles and all the arrows. So if we could just roll that or cue that up once to get proper perspective, to listeners and viewers out there.
Right. And so this is the actual, it ended up being a one game suspension. And this is the actual video that was done for to illustrate why. Because, you know, we have a job to do, and it's not just to suspend players. That's probably the last thing on the list. It's to make sure we prevent this kind of stuff from happening. And in this case, like for Rauchenwald, it's also a situation where a player is approaching and it's a reactionary thing. Like it's like that holy cow, like that type thing. And we've all been there too. And we can live with it. If his stick was simply 6 inches lower, we go from a major in a game to a minor penalty and no suspension. It's just, and if it goes 1 inch or 2 inches higher, we have a player with no teeth left. And so sometimes, and it's not fair to a player or any player, sometimes when we're talking in inches in a really fast game, but in this situation, who is responsible? And it has to be the player with the stick in this case.
But if we compare and contrast it to the situation that we talked about first with Kevin Maciejczyński, he didn't get a game suspension because he already served such long time,
right,
for the 5-minute game. He got a 5-minute game in if I'm not mistaken, the first period too, but he got a suspension.
Actually, that's a great question and a great analogy on the situation. So that was, I had the option of one or two games. It's a category one. If there was no penalty on that play and that same thing occurred, it would have been two games. Again, I have that choice, one or two games. And I went with one game because, again, a major was served, justice was done within that game, and he could not play the remainder of the game. So that's why it was one game, not two games.
So we've seen a couple penalties so far, boarding, cross-checking. We all know there are lots of different other penalties. And with the emphasis on stick fouls and those infractions that we were able to show you, we thought, you know what, might be nice for you to maybe think a little bit about the game and about the referees and about the penalties that have been handed out so far this year. This is where we do give away two VIP tickets to a game of your choice. All you need to do is answer a question, obviously correctly, send that correct answer to our email address, which is hockeyoclock101@gmail.com. You'll also find it in the show notes and maybe be the lucky winner of two VIP tickets to a game of your choice. This giveaway or your answer, if it comes in up until October 25th, you'll be able to participate in this giveaway. The question is, which kind of penalty has been awarded most often up until the games on October 13th? They haven't been played yet, but which kind of penalty? Is it tripping? Is it boarding? Is it slashing? Is it cross-checking? Has been awarded most often? Any guesses?
I'm not going to guess because I may know, but I will say this. Great question, and it's going to be interesting what the answers are, but I will give a hint. We also, in comparison with other leagues, want to know where we are from a DOP standpoint, from a game official standpoint, infractions. And when we look at our stats versus other leagues, the same penalties that occur most frequent in our league also occur as frequently and in their top penalties in the other European leagues.
So we're right on eye level with them.
We are. Yeah.
It's good to know. So once again, what kind of penalties have been called most often this year up until the games on October 13th that haven't been played yet? Your assessment, and you might just want to go through all the 59 games played so far and just add up the different infractions, but that's seems like a tall task. Anyhow, your predictions, your correct answers to hockeyoclock101@gmail.com. And if you just mention which game you'd like to see, obviously has to take place after October 25th, please let us know in the email as well. And hopefully you're the lucky winner of two VIP tickets. Brings us to one of my nightmare categories, because again, just as we heard with the commentary sample, it just shows how clueless I am. It's a category that we intended to bring back that's called You Be the Ref. A normal hockey referee just gets one look at something that happens during the game. If he's able to have video goal judge review on it, he might get a couple of looks, but the norm is he gets one look. So it's one look only. Your team prepared four more clips for us to have a go at it. You haven't seen them. I haven't seen them. Well, have a look at the... I don't even know which games they're coming from.
I don't know what's coming either.
So we'll have one look at it, and then we'll try to sort out what infraction indeed happened. So please bring on the first clip of You Be the Ref. And I'm probably already overwhelmed by just trying to guess which teams and which rink and whatnot. But we'll try to get this out of the way. First clip of You Be the Ref.
And sometimes, Martin.
Okay.
It's you have to really look. Sometimes it's very easy.
Jesus.
Oh, that's off.
So the call on the ice is a good goal, but they're calling for video review. So the refs weren't sure either. They had to make a call. They have to make a call.
Right. They had
but
it as a
good on a goal, they're yeah. able to review it.
Right. And so at ice level, you said it best at the very beginning, they don't get replays for the most part anytime during the game. And they get one look at it, but sometimes it's even a question mark, did they see it? That's the first question we always have to look at. Did they even see the infraction? In this case, the low referee felt he had a good enough line. He had a good enough feel and he pointed goal, and that was his judgment at the time.
And that's so important, and that's for you to keep in the back of your heads at all times, there needs to be a call on the ice. And this call always serves as the reference point of everything that will come afterwards. So they have the call. It's a good goal on the ice. And that's the reference point. It needs to be this cliche, I know, but we have to mention it. Indisputable visual evidence that a call on the ice was wrong. So right. What was gut feeling? And never go with your gut feeling, or not too often. But my gut feeling was it seemed like a good goal. The referee says it's a good goal. What's the verdict on this clip?
I know the verdict, but at the time, I didn't know if it was a good goal because I was in the Situation Room. Of course, we're on it right away. We're looking. And in this particular case, they went to video review and they determined it was a good goal.
On what basis? If we just may look at it again.
Yeah, and it's probably best to look. When the net comes off, the player is in the act of shooting. And that's a key phrase in this. So if he's already in the movement towards the net, he's already in the act of shooting, and then the net comes off, it's a good goal, provided the puck goes where the net would normally be stationed.
Yeah, just like to ask for that clip to roll one more time for us to get a proper look at maybe the shooting motion as well.
I don't know if they have it from behind the net. There's a behind the net camera here that really helped us out in the Situation Room, because we can see when Waugh is coming over, we can see when his leg hits the post, and it's not the fault of the shooter in this case. It's not Waugh doing it with intent or purpose. It's Waugh just coming over to make a save and hits the post, but he was for sure in the act of shooting. So it was the correct call being a goal.
So obviously the exclamation or the question mark can go away. It's an exclamation mark. And we had our first example of UB, the ref. We'll move on. A second clip was brought along. I'm afraid I'll just do as bad on this one as on the first one, but let's see what your colleagues have been cooking up.
I'm going to assume it's a goal again because we got an overhead.
No, this is the...
Well, now we're seeing the second part. Okay, this will help us because these are the cameras from the Situation we're looking at. So we can see exactly and precisely when...
So the cameras are meshed.
Yeah, and what we do is we actually have six cameras there, and so we can stop it. We know, right, basically where it stopped there, we stopped it because the net's still on. Then we go to, we look at where the player was, and he was already in formation for the act of shooting. So we could determine in the Situation Room that it was a good goal.
So that was our reveal shot, and glad that the people in the back got this to us, because this probably explains best what we've been talking about the past couple of minutes. But we're moving on to the second example of UB, the ref. One look at it. Okay, Klagenfurt Asiago. So far, so good.
Oh, this just occurred.
I'd say a good goal.
Yeah.
So it really so was.
This just occurred. And the thing that's important here this, yeah, it goes off.
I do get this. It goes off the skate. And this is a new rule, right?
It's a new rule, but that actually would have been goal last year, too. It would have been a goal for the last 6 or 7 years. So
because there was no distinct kicking motion.
There was no distinct kicking motion.
But even if he had a distinct kicking motion.
Right, then it still would have been a goal.
Unless.
But the point with this, and the reason probably the Situation Room sent this one, is there we did get questions from the media on this particular play, right? Because it's evidently clear it went off. Is that Fraser? I didn't look at it long enough. But whoever's the Klagenfurt player skate. And what's important for people to understand is a player uses his feet all the time, either to move the puck, catch the puck. That's how they catch and pass it sometimes. If no different than your stick, it's very important for a player to have feel with their feet and have the ability to work with their feet. That's why players a lot of times are doing feet drill and stuff. You think, oh, well, it's just everything's with a stick. No, probably a good third of their game is with their feet. We as a league felt it was best that... Do we say that's no goal because he used his foot, but they're allowed to use their feet all the time? So if a player is allowed to do that, what do you think is ingrained in their head? You know what I mean? Like it's not always with intent. It's just habitual to put your foot there.
I don't know if there's a reveal shot on this, but if so, just roll it. And there obviously is.
Yeah. So that's Matty Fraser there. And you know, he's,
Nick
Fraser,
Peterson.
It's Peter.
No. Yamosha.
Yeah.
Number
yeah,
nine.
Yeah. And so he simply is trying to get the puck there. Did it go in the net? Absolutely. But we want that to be a good goal.
So we were always so hung up on, is it a kicking motion or not? We could, if you try to narrow it down, we can throw out the kicking motion and throw it out of the window. The only time the kicking motion does matter if it happens in the crease, correct?
In the blue paint, correct. Yes. And the players, it's been prefaced to the players also that this isn't the Wild Wild West and we can go around kicking everything. Because there's a second rule in the rule book that even if I'm going for the puck, if I wind up and do, let's call it a soccer style kick, because I think that would translate pretty easy, and I hit somebody in the face I kick them. That's not kicking the puck, that's kicking. And that's actually a five in a game, and that's actually very suspension worthy. So the players still have a responsibility to be careful with their skates. They can't just go around kicking everything, right? So, you know, to the fans, next time you go to a game, to spend one shift and watch how many times the puck has made contact with a player's skate, and you'll see the players that have really good feet that can get that puck right to their stick with their feet all the time.
Two down, two to go. You be the ref. Example number three. Okay, Villach against Pustertal happened recently too.
This has happened Sunday late in the game. It's 4-3, 9 minutes left.
So there's someone down on the face-off circle.
Yeah, there's somebody down. And everybody's seen it now once. That's the referee's version right there.
I just saw, okay, there's someone down. Something must have happened.
Something must have happened, right?
There, yeah.
And I'm in the situation room. I'm watching the game. And my first gut, it's funny when you're sitting in a situation room and you're seeing all these games and you're seeing everything going on. Sometimes it's the way the player comes off a check or the way the player spins or the way the player, in this case, goes down. Something clearly happened. This isn't embellishing. This isn't a case where a player just decided to go down.
But you can't make calls on something must have happened.
Must have happened. So in this particular example, I too, in the situation room live, thought for sure the Felak player going through two players, there was an elbow, there was a shoulder, something contacted. Because that guy also, it's not just the fact that he's going down, it's that he goes for his head right away.
You know what, we'll roll the revealed shot and try to find out what indeed happened. Take us through it.
Okay, so now we got 16 coming through, player, he's going for the puck. It was his own player's stick. He definitely got hit. He definitely had a reason to go down. Yeah. And I'm glad the situation room sent this clip, because when you see it in replay, isn't that the easiest call to not make?
Right.
It shouldn't be a penalty.
Yeah.
But it was a penalty. And, of course, we call it the hockey gods weren't working with us that night, because Pustertal scored, made it 4-4 on that PP. And we end up going overtime in that game.
But I guess it just shows you get one look, the margins of error are so slim. And I mean, this is where every Monday morning quarterback at home says, like, well, why didn't they get this right?
Right. And the thing is, here's how we look at it as a league. Number one, was it wrong? Yes, we can't deny that. Should have not been a penalty, 100%. Shouldn't be a penalty. The referees cannot go to review on that because they did not call a major in a game. They don't go to video just for normal stuff, or we could have 3 or 4 hour games if we had to review every single thing. So this, in a weird and warped way, is part of the game. This can happen in any league, anywhere, and it does happen. But what's more important for us as a league, if we look at that low referee that actually made that call, he had himself in a good position. He had a good sight line. There's not a lot he could have done differently. And so do we want to be mad at the referee because he made an incorrect call? That's human nature. But we actually look at this very differently. He reacted to something that I would have reacted. I did react to the same way in the situation room at the time, live. And we actually have to support the referee in this case. This isn't one where you go and we have enough cases where we have to alter the referees, change them. This is wrong. This is whatever. In this particular case, we're actually happy with the referee did everything to put himself in the right spot to make that call.
One more time. You be the ref. You get one look and one look only, and you have to come up with a verdict. Example number four. Okay, that has to do something with being onside?
Yeah, because we got a goal here. Situation like goals. sending goal clips. Obviously,
it felt like he was onside. So a good goal. What was the call? What was the call on the ice?
This one.
Okay, you know what?
If I recall, this was a good goal at the time.
Okay,
and it went to review, and I don't know if it went to review. I can't remember on this one because this would be a coach's challenge,
right?
And I don't remember if a coach challenge. We have so many through the season that I don't even know this particular example.
You know what? Let's roll the reveal shot already,
and I can help you out a lot more now that I. Oh, it was a coach's challenge. And it is onside, but they challenged it for offside. That's the only thing.
And it wasn't the case.
And it wasn't the case. So they have it as a good goal. I can see the referee pointing. And obviously the other team challenged it for an offside. And probably in fast motion, regular speed, it would. Because you got player coming out, player going in, and then the player with the puck, which was not total puck possession. So it is a funky kind of play. But as it turned out, it was onside and the goal remained.
And that's the case. We're talking about bang-bang plays and players skating at 30 to 35 kilometers an hour all over the ice. It's just, I'm each and every time we're doing this, I've got more respect for all the referees out there having those up to 300 decisions per game that they need to get right. But the one thing that I'm always curious about, and I'm glad that we're getting this opportunity, is the coach's challenge as a device for coaches to obviously get something right or changed, but them not putting something on the line. In the NHL, if you're having a coaches or issuing a coaching challenge, you are putting a two-minute minor on the line. So if you're calling for the review and it's that the correct call was made, you have to play shorthanded. Why is that not the case here?
It is the second time and on. The first time it's not, and there's a very simple explanation to it. We do not have the technology that the NHL has. So on a bench, if you went onto an NHL player's bench and seen the amount of iPads and the amount of computers, and even built into the floor, you'll see a coach looking down a lot of times because they have cameras or the angles underneath them. They have all this technology. We quite simply do not. So,
but what's missing? Is it three iPads per team, or would it be an entire video
system? It's not just a matter of putting an iPad or two or anything in the player's box. Everything has to be in real time. We have to have those cameras. They have to be able to have a legitimate look at it as well. And quite honestly, in the NHL, I mean, every team's a little bit different, but they have, I couldn't even fathom to guess because every team's a little bit different, but let's say upwards of 20 coaches. And I say that because there's a skating coach, there's a fitness coach, there's all these coaches, and there's video coaches, and there's analyst coaches, and there's all these coaches. We don't have that luxury here. And so the fact of the matter is, for the most part, the coach or assistant coach that's on the bench, or perhaps the video coach upstairs that has a headphone down to the player's bench, Spidey senses might have tingled and they feel something there, but even they don't really have that technology in that quick a time frame to go back, analyze, and look, where in the NHL they do.
Right, but in essence, you're still getting one free review and the second one is the one where you might get a minor.
If the first review is inconclusive, you still have your, let's call it, free coach's challenge.
So if you keep getting them right, you might have six.
You could have six if you kept getting them right. But as soon as you get one wrong and it's conclusive that you're wrong,
then the
clock is ticking and it's a minor penalty. Then if you say did it a third time and you were wrong, it's a double minor penalty. It keeps incrementing itself, right? So, you know, it's, you know, there's also people out there that say, oh, this is really slowing our game down. You know, it takes away. It actually did not affect our game time at all, our overall game time from before we had it till we have it. And what it does, and this is probably the most important thing that nobody realizes, is we call it relaxes the game. It chills the game. Because at least by the referees having the ability, either through coach's challenge or video goal judge review, everybody can take a minute. They've seen it on video. Hopefully it's conclusive. It may be inconclusive, but the coaches are told that. And it brings the temperature of the game down so we can get rolling again. If you don't have that, the temperature then, especially if a team feels they're hard done by, it just keeps building and building, and we do have long, long games.
Glad that we figured this one out. Thank you so much for doing this. Quick reminder for the people back home, we're doing this every month roundabout. If you have questions regarding the hockey ops and the refereeing part, please send them along for the moment. So thankful that you took the time and jumped onto Win Today Hockey O'Clock.
Well, thank you, Martin. And also for the fans, you know, the game officials are kind of this illusion out there, and they may have clips or something they want to send in, not just from a DOPS perspective or why was this a suspension or not. Also, if they have, your fans have questions about why did the game officials do this or that, and maybe the VLAC situation is a great example, because after seeing replay, how could he call a penalty? But if they understand they can't go to review on that, they can't go, it's arms up, too late, you know. I would challenge the fans to send that to you as well, because, you know, it's important for them to understand.
It really is. Again, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Win Today Hockey O'Clock.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt.
Mittendrin statt nur dabei.
Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh.
Nice move, another nice move. Oh, it's gone. Oh, what a goal.